Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Ayin Zayin. We left off at Daf Ayin Zayin, Amar Aleph. We're at the Mishnah on the top of the page. Today's year is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Le'ili Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha Le'a Shalom. And it's also sponsored by Dr. Yosef Gervich, in honor of his wife and children. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the continued sponsorship of the Daf Yomi. So we are holding again at the Mishnah on Ayin Zayin, Amar Aleph, and the Mishnah is going to talk about what happens if the man has a mum, and what does that do to the marriage? So the first Mishnah is going to talk about cases where the man has a mum, where we do not force him to divorce his wife on account of his mum. And then the next Mishnah is going to talk about where he has mum and that we do force him to divorce his wife on account of his mum. And then the Gemara is going to discuss whether we force someone to divorce his wife after 10 childless years. And if we do, why isn't that listed in the Mishnah as one of the cases that we force him to divorce his wife? Then the Gemara is going to talk about a disease called Ra'asan, which is a type of mukashchin, and what causes the disease and how to cure the disease. This is the brain surgery daf. The Gemara describes how they would do brain surgery to cure this disease. Then the Gemara is going to talk about the extraordinary deaths of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, which involved a whole dialogue with the Malach HaMavas, and then a little bit more about that disease called Ra'asan and why it is that people in Bavel don't suffer from that, nor from Tzara'as, to end the Peruk off Pe'ezus Hashem. So let's begin at the Mishnah and Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph at the top of the page, third line of the page. So says the Mishnah, Ha'ish Noldeba Mum Menein Kofnos Alahotzi. If a man develops a mum, we do not force him to divorce his wife, because a man is makbid that his wife doesn't have mumin, but that's because Einisha Ela Leyofi, says the Tosfos Rid. Women are looking for different things in men than men are looking for in women. So some of the same mumin that would passel, so to speak, a wife would not passel a husband. Amram Shimon Liel Bamed Var Mamurim Be Mumin Akatanim. That's if it's a minor blemish. Av Be Mumin Agadolim. But if it's a major blemish, then Kofanos Alahotzi. Then we do force him to divorce his wife. Whenever we say kofanos alahotzi, the Meiri points out, it's not only with words, it's whatever it takes to make him divorce his wife. B'dvarim lo yivasar eved, we're going to see in the Gemara soon, the Pasuk of Mishlei says, words alone, that's not called forcing him. But the question that the Rishonim struggle with is, why don't we say that nistachva sada of the Isha, that we shouldn't force him to divorce her? We say if a woman develops a mum after Erusin, that it's his tough luck, nistachva sadeu, this is your wife, you got to live with her. How come if a man develops a mum later on, we're kofnos solahotzi, we're going to force him to divorce his wife? So Tosel suggests, because a man is not considered the sada of the Isha, and therefore you can't say nistachva sadehu. The Tosel Rid suggests that when the husband wants to make her lose her ksuba, we say nistachva sadehu. Too bad, you're already obligated in the ksuba. But over here, the obligation already exists, and we're just trying to make him live up to that obligation. We're not trying to make him be mafsid. We're not being mafsid him anything, and therefore it's not considered as much of a statement to be kofen oso lahotzi as it is to be kofen osa lahotzi. So says Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Tani Noldu Chia Barav Tani Hayu. What is the case of our Mishnah? He has these mumin. We're not going to force him to divorce his wife. Is that when he developed these mumin after they got married, or he already had these mumin all along? If the Mishnah is talking about a case where he developed these mumin recently after they're married, and we still don't force him to divorce his wife, Kolshkin Hayu, for sure, if he had them before they were married, we're not going to force him to divorce his wife. She knew about them and she was okay with them. But if you learn our Mishnah is talking about a case where he already had these mumin and still we force him to divorce his wife, well then we don't force him to divorce his wife, when he had these mumin, we would say, right, we're not going to end the marriage if she knew about it in advance. But if he develops new mumin, then she could say, this is not what I signed up for. And then we're going to force him to divorce his wife. So Tanan, Amram Shmuel Gamliel, Bamed Var Mamurim B'mumin Katanim. That Amram Shmuel Gamliel had commented that the whole idea that we're not going to be kofen osa lahotzi, that we're going to leave the marriage be, is only if it's small mumin. Aval B'mumin Gedolim kofen osa lahotzi. But if it's large mumin, she can demand a divorce. So Bishlam, Mandiyamar, Nol, do. I understand very well if these are brand new mumin, so there's a difference between mumin gadol and mumin katanim. They're brand new mumin. She didn't know about them, and maybe a mum katan, she's willing to withstand. A mum gadol, she's not willing to withstand. Elamad yamar hayu, but if, according to the shita, that he had these mumin before anyway, and she knew about them. So malik gadol and malik katanim, asav of the kibla. What difference does it make whether they were mumin gadolim or mumin katanim? She was aware of them. She was mekabel them. So even a mum gadol, we should say that the marriage should remain intact. So says Gemara, no, she's allowed to change her mind if it's a mum gadol. Kesvuri he sheyichal lekabel. She thought she'd be able to tolerate it. Va'achshav she'en yichal lekabel. And now she's not able to tolerate it. A lot of times when people are young and they don't know, they think they'll be able to tolerate all sorts of things. They don't realize how important certain things are to them. So a mum gadol, she didn't realize that it was such a big deal, and therefore she's not able to. She's allowed to say, I thought I could do it, I just can't. Ve'elu'e mumin gadolim, what are examples of mumin gadolim? So, pirush Rav Shimon Gamliel, kigo nismis eino, nikta yado, nishbar raglo. That his eye gets blinded, his arm gets cut off, his leg gets broken in a way that it does not heal. And it's talking about where it's one eye, or one leg, or one arm. Because if it's both of them, then everyone would say kofanos alahotzi, because then he becomes like an over a bottle mina olam. That's what Shidu Gvetzis writes in the name of Tamide Rabbeinu Yonah. The Meiri points out in the name of the Chachmei Lenil that if one of each of the limbs remain, then you could be somech on it, even if he's missing the other of that limb. But if he doesn't have any of if there are two of something and he's missing both of them, so then there's nothing, there's no functionality in that limb of the body, and then we'd be kofenos alahotzi for sure. And says the Meiri, and therefore would follow from the Chachmei Lenil, that if you have any particular limb where there's only one of in a person's body, where you don't have matching, so that, and you're missing just one, that would also be enough to be for sure kofenos alahotzi. But then he says, maybe not. Maybe it's only arms and legs and eyes where the functionality is very great, where then we would say, I mean, they do most of the things that you do, your eyes and your arms and your legs, and therefore maybe only in that case the Chachmei Lenil say that if you're missing both, then it's a pashut kofenos alahotzi according to everybody. See it, my Rabbi Abba Yaakov Amar Rabbi Yochanan Lachar Shimon Gamliel, that we pass from Shimon Gamliel that the larger mumin were kofenos alahotzi. That is, let's remember, it's Rabbi Yochanan paskening like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that were kofenos alahotzi for the larger mumin. Rav Amar Rav Nachman halach divrei Chamin. Rav says name Rav Nachman though. Then no, we pass like Chamin. We do not force him to divorce his wife, even if he has very large mumin. So, frankly, Gemara, Miyam Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, does Rabbi Yochanan say we pass on Moshe Gamliel that large mumin rukofnos alahotzi? V'amar Rabbi Berchano, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol makom shon Moshe Gamliel mishaseinu halacha kamoso chutz me'arei v'tzaydim v'ray achrona, that in all but three cases we always pass on Moshe Gamliel mishnayis, meaning that there's an already existing klal and psak that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So you wouldn't, if Rabbi Yochanan really held that there's an existing klal and psak that we always paskin Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, I wouldn't need him to pipe up over here, oh, we paskin Rabbi Shimon Gamliel over here. Of course we do. We always do. So it seems to be a stira in Rabbi Yochanan, not because he's saying two opposite halachos, but he's saying an unnecessary halacha, that it's obvious that we pass from Moshe Gamliel. So says Gemara, Amorayin in Valibid Rabbi Yochanan. In Ochnam, it's Machlokas Amorayin, whether Rabbi Yochanan holds that there is a klal in Psak that we always paskin like Rabbi Moshe Gamliel, except for these three cases. The cases appear in Mesech Bambas, Mesech Gittin, Mesech Sanhedrin, different cases where they are the exception to the rule. Okay, next Mishnah. So the Mishnah discusses certain cases where the husband is so blemished in a certain way that we do, that the wife does not have to tolerate it. She does not have to live with him. She can. Where even the chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and think that a large mum she does have to tolerate will agree in these cases we're about to list that kofnos alahotzi. That's what the Rishonim point out. That's what this mission is adding. Ve'elu shekofnos alahotzi. The following we do force him to divorce his wife. Mukashchin, if he's got boils all over his body. Ubal polipus. He's a Baal Pelipus. We'll see, the Gemara will describe what that means. Vamekametz, Vametzarif Nechoshes, a person who's Mekametz and who works with copper. Vabursi, and a tanner. Bein Chayuach Lenisu, Bein Mishanisu Noldu. Whether these are things that that were pre-existing conditions, or whether these are conditions that only developed after they got married. Va'al kulan amar Rabbi Meir, aval pi shehisne ima yichol ishtomer suris sheni yichol kabel va'achshav ein yichol lekabel. And all of these, the woman could say, I thought I'd be able to tolerate it. I didn't realize what life would be like. I cannot tolerate it, and therefore he has to give her a get. V'cham amar mekabel esi al korcha, and the Chum say, no, she has to tolerate it because they made this tonight. Chutz mi mukashchin mipnei shemim makto, except for a mukashchin where that she does not have to tolerate because she's going to hurt him. It's going to cause his flesh to start coming off. If he has physical intimacy with another person, it's going to destroy him. There is a machlokes rishonim, according to the Chamim, in a case where she saw these movements before the Nisuin, but never made an explicit tanai. Right? Our Mishnah said that Amar Meir Af Pisha Hisna Ima, she could say, I can't handle it. And the Chamim say that no, once you made a tanai, then you have to live with it. What if she didn't make a tanai, but she was aware of it? Is that the same as a tanai? So the Rashba writes that if they didn't make a tanai before the Nisuin, she could say, I thought I could handle it, but I can't handle it. And the Chacham, the Ramah, quoted in the Torah, writes that according to the Chamim, even if she only saw these women before the Nisuin, that's ki'ilu, you made it tonight, that's her being Mekabel. So you have Machlokas Rishonim, whether knowing about it in advance is the same as making it tonight. Maisa b'tzidon b'bor siyachat shemes, there was a story in the town of Tzidon where a certain tanner had died, v'hayilo ach borsi, and he had a brother who was in the family business. They worked together in the same business. I mean, the problem was that a borsi, a tanner, smells. He comes home every day reeking, and she had a husband where she was tolerating that every day. And now the brother has to do yibum, and he has the same smell. She's allowed to say to the brother that I was willing to tolerate it for your deceased brother because he was a good guy, but I'm not willing to tolerate it on you. She's able to say that there are certain things that are tolerable because there are other factors besides for the fact that he was a borsi that outweighed that. But for you, I'm not able to tolerate it. My bal pulipos. So the Mishnah said one of these things that a condition that a man has that would make him divorce his wife is if he's a bal pulipos. What does that mean? Amar de Shmuel reach chachotem. It means that he has some sort of awful smell that comes out of his nose. Masnisa tana reach hapeh, that he has a horribly bad breath. Ravasi masniyibcha umanach basimana. Ravasi had that it was the opposite Amoraim saying it. That it was Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel that said it was bad breath. It was from the peh, and masnisa tana that it was the nose. So umanach basimana, he gave a simon to remember. Ravasi gave a simon to remember that Shmuel is the one that said it was from the peh by saying Shmuel lo pasuk pume mikulei pirkin, that Shmuel didn't stop his mouth from our entire parak, meaning he knew this parak really well. So we use the word pume, we use the word mouth in association with Shmuel as an easy way of remembering that Shmuel is the one that held reach hapeh. That's how Rashi understands the expression that lo pasuk pume mikulei pirkin means he knew this parak really well. So Rashi says no, it means that Shmuel has something to say on every single mishnah in this parak, and he starts going through all the mishnahs in the parak and says, you see, Shmuel has what to say on every mishnah. So that's what it means, lo pasuk pume mikulei pirkin. I just wonder, there are probably many prakim in Shas where Shmuel has what he's not a rare amora, right? He comes up all the time. So I don't know. So v'amakametz. So my makametz. What is a makametz? So Amar Rav Yehuda zeh makabitz soas klavim. It's someone who gathers little pieces of dog excrement. So meisvei makametz a borsi. But we have a brayse that says makametz means a tanner. Ultaimech. So it says more. According to you, that makametz means a tanner. Tikshi loch masnisin. That's against our Mishnah because our Mishnah lists as separate things. Hamakametz v'mitzarif nechoshes v'aborsi. There are separate items on the list. How can you say makametz is a borsi? Makametz and borsi are two separate items on our list in the Mishnah. So bishlam masnisin lo kasha. The Mishnah is not going to be a kasha on the brisa because kan b'borsi gadol kan b'borsi katan. It could be there's a difference between a major borsi and a minor borsi. El Rav Yehuda, but according to Rav Yehuda, the makametz is someone who picks out tzoras klavim. So kasha, it's a problem with the brisa because the brisa identifies a makametz as a borsi. So how can you go against the brisa and say that it's someone who picks out tzoras klavim? So tanoi, it's a machlokas tanoim. The tiny makametz a borsi. V'yesh amrim zah makametz tzoras klavim. So when Rabbi Yehuda said it means someone who's mekabit tzos klavim, he was going like one shita in Tanaim. And when the Brisa says a mekabit is a borsi, he was going like another shita in Tanaim. And both of those shitos fit our Mishnah. If you say that it's a guy who picks tzos klavim, then it's perfectly fine in our Mishnah because it's borsi has nothing to do with it. And if you say that it means a borsi, it's also fine in our Mishnah because there's a borsi katan and a borsi gadol. Hamitzayim from the choshes of borsi. That we mentioned a mitzayim. Nechoshes and a borsi. My mitzarif nechoshes. What is a mitzarif nechoshes? Rav Ashi Amar chashli dudi. It's a guy who makes copper pots. Rabbi Rechana Amar is a mechatik nechoshes meikaro. No, it means someone who mines copper. Tanya kavasid Rabbi Rechana is a mitzarif mechatik nechoshes meikaro. And we have a brisa that says explicitly it means a person who mines nechoshes. Amar Rav, Amar Einizon Veini Mefarnis. If a person says I'm not going to give my wife mezonos, nor will I provide her with her other needs, yotzi vitin. So we say, okay, then give her a get and pay her ksuba. Also, Rabbi Elazar Amar L'Shmaita. Rabbi Elazar said this kamed to Shmuel in front of Shmuel. So Amar aksua sari l'Elazar. So Shmuel said they fed barley to Elazar like they feed a behema. Because what do you mean? Why would we force him to divorce his wife? Force him to feed his wife. The guy is saying that I don't want to support her. We tell him you have to support her. So Virav and Rav, who says that we force him to divorce his wife, will say, no, we're not going to force him to feed his wife because they know them darim nachash b'kfifa, because you can't live with a snake like this. So if this is the kind of things that he's been up to, that he's trying to deny his wife sustenance, he's trying to deny his wife her basic necessities, you don't force him to start feeding her because he'll come up with something else next. You force him to divorce her and pay her ksuba and let her move on with her life. Kisalak Rabbi Zeira, when Rabbi Zeira went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Ashrei Rabbi Yom Bar Yafes Yosef Kamala Mishrei Rabbi Yochanan, he heard Rabbi Yom Bar Yafes saying this halacha that kofenos lahotzi in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So Amalei Alda, so he said about this, Achsua Sarin Lelazar Bavel. They fed barley to Lazar in Bavel, meaning when Rabbi Lazar wanted to say the same thing, that kofenos lahotzi, they got really upset at him. So it happens to be, so how do we paskin? Is it kofenos lahotzi or kofenos lahachil and lazanus ishto in such a case? So Rov Rishonim, the Rabbi Chananel and the Rif and the Rambam, paskin like Shmuel, that kofenos lazun and not lahotzi, that we force him to feed his wife, not to divorce her. And the Ritva explains, because the klalim psak is that hilchsuk Shmuel bedini, and even though Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rav, and normally we pass like Rabbi Yochanan against Shmuel, but over here the Gemara rejected Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Zeira rejected it. However, the Bahag quoted in the Ritva paskins like Rav and Rabbi Yochanan because they are the Rabbim against Shmuel, and that's another Kalim Psak that Yachid v'Rabbim halacha k'Rabbim. So they outvote Shmuel, and that's how it tells Rid paskins as well. The fact that Rabbi Zeira was docha Rabbi Yochanan, that's he was just trying to explain Shmuel Shita, but that's just a restatement of Shmuel Shita. It's not a real dechia of the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Rabbi Amar Rav Asi, Ein Ma'asin Elo L'Psulos. We only force people to be to divorce their wives if they're psulos, meaning the women who there's a chiyuv to divorce. So Kamrisa made the Shmuel, when he said this in front of Shmuel, Amar, he said that I'll explain to you what he means by psulos, where we force the husband to divorce her. Kigon Alman El Kohen Gadol Krushav Achlutz El Kohen Hediot Mamzer Sin Nesin El Yisrael Basral Nasal Mamzer, meaning when there's an Issa Daraisa and then being married, so then we force them to divorce. Avol Nasi Yishav Shayim Ha'Esr Shanim V'Lo Yalda. But if a couple has been married for 10 years and they don't have any children, Ein Kofenos, so we do not force him to divorce his wife, even though he has a mitzvah pruravu, but we don't force him to fulfill this mitzvah. V'Rav Tachlif Baravimi Amar Shmuel Afil Nasi Yishav Shayim Ha'Esr Shanim V'Lo Yalda Kofenos. So a machlokas. Rav Tachlif Baravimi says in the name of Shmuel that even if they've been married for 10 years without children, 10 childless years, even then we're kofnoso lahotzi. The Mi'iri says some say that that's only in Eretz Yisrael, because in Yevamos they learned this din from Avram Avinu that he married Sarah Miketzes Hashanim L'Sheves Avram Beretz Kanaan. That's when he took Hagar. But prior to 10 years in Eretz Kanaan, even though it was way more than 10 years after they were married, so you assume that they just need the zechus of Eretz Yisrael to help them out. The Ramban says no, that's only for Avram Avinu, where Hakadosh Baruch Hu promised him that he's going to have children mentioned Dafka in Eretz Yisrael, but Ledoros, where Klal Yisrael is supposed to continue even in Galus, so then even in Galus it's going to apply after 10 years. So Tanan Velush Kofnos Alahotzi. The following in our mission, we said the people that we do force to divorce their wives, Mukashchinu Bal Pulipos. So Bishlam the Ravasi, I understand Ravasi, who understand who explained Shmuel that if there's a forbidden marriage, we force them to divorce, but not someone who's been married for 10 years without children. The Rabbanon Katani, the Raisa Lo Katani. The Tanan our mission lists the Bali Mumin and the Bali Umnios that are midrabanan, but it doesn't list those that we force to divorce because they're a problem midar raisa. El Rav Tachlifa Baravimi listening to us Yishuv Shem Es Shanim Lo Yolda Kofno. So why doesn't it list in our Mishnah that if they've been married for 10 years, meaning that's a din drabanan? So if our Mishnah is listing all the din midrabanan, and you hold that when you had 10 childless years, we are Kofno Salahotzi, shouldn't that have made it into our Mishnah as one of the items, one of the cases where it's Kofno Salahotzi? So Rav Nachman Lo Kasha, Habimili Habishoti, that Shmuel, when he said that 10 childless years were Kofno Salahotzi, that's Kofno So with words. Whereas the Halach that it says in our Mishnah, Kofno Salahotzi, that's by physically forcing Lahotzi. So Maskva Rabbi Abba Bidvarim Lo Yivasarevitz. Rabbi Abba says, what are you talking about? We wouldn't use the term kofin on words. Words, bidvarim lo yivasareved. That's not called kfiya. Elam Rabbi Abba, hava ha bishoti. They're both talking about physically forcing him lahotzi. Hasam ki amra, havina ba'adei shav ki amra, when the woman was makabal the woman, havina ba'adei, I'm willing to stay with him, shavkinan la. So we allow her to do that because we're only forcing him to divorce her for her benefit. But hacha, but in the case of 10 childless years, avgav da amra, havina ba'adei, day, even if she says, no, I'm willing to put up with it, I'm willing to be childless with this man, lo shamina, lo shavkina, lo, we don't allow that, because he has a mitzvah puravu. It's not only for her benefit that we force this divorce, it's for the benefit of his being able to do the mitzvah. Very mukashchin, davgav da amra, avina baday, lo shavkina, lo, but wait a second, what about the case of mukashchin, where even if she says, I'm willing to tolerate it, we don't allow the marriage to stay, it's not chutz mi mukashchin, meshem makto, except for mukashchin, because makto, so why is 10 childless years any different than a mukashchin? So we're vaiter back to our kasha that 10 childless years should have been on the list of our Mishnah of things that result in us forcing the husband to divorce his wife. Because don't tell me that no, the items in the Mishnah are things that she could be mochel. Mukashchin, she can't be mochel, and that's in our Mishnah. So 10 childless years should also be in our Mishnah. So says Gemara, no, still 10 childless years is different than mukashchin. Hasam kiamar diarna bahade basahade. If the guy is a mukashchin, she says, I'm willing to live with him with witnesses that will see that we never touch each other, then we'll allow it. But there's no such thing if they've been married without any children, because the whole point is that the man needs to do puravu. So even having all the witnesses in the world that they're never physically in contact with each other doesn't help a single bit when it comes to that. So that's why it doesn't make it into our Mishnah. Once we talk about mukashchin, the Gemara emphasizes a particular type of mukashchin. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yossi Safli Zakenecha Manshi Yerushalayim. An old Yerushalmi Yid once told me, "Esim v'arba mukishchin hein." There are 24 types of mukishchin. V'kulan amr chamim tashmish kashalahen. And all of the cases having physical intimacy will cause his flesh to start crumbling. Bali ra'asan kashmi kulan. But bali ra'asan is the worst type of mukishchin. Mimai havi. What causes bali ra'asan to happen? Titania hikas dam v'shimesh havi lo banim v'saikin. That if a person has tashmish amita right after bloodletting, he's going to have very weak children. But if both man and woman were both make his dam v'shimshu and then hatash v'shamita, having lobana bali rasan, that's when the children will be bali rasan. Amra papa la amar nel dlotal midi. That's only if they didn't eat anything after the bloodletting. Avotal midi less than but if they just eat something, they have the orange juice or whatever they give you and the intimates right after you give blood. Right, so they have that, and then they can have tashmish, and it's not going to be a problem. But if on an empty stomach after the bloodletting, then you can have this problem. So, maisi mane, what are the symptoms of Bali Rasan. So Dolphinene, their eyes tear excessively. Divi Nechira, there's constant mucus coming out of their nose. Vais Leirira Mipume, and they're salivating constantly. Viramu Divi Lave, and there are flies always flying all over them that are attracted to them. Umaya Suse, and how do you cure Bali Rasan? So here's how you do the brain surgery. Amar Abaye, Abaye says you gather the following ingredients. Pila, Viludna, different types of herbs. Vigirda Da Aguza, the peel of an ego's tree. Vigirda Da Ashpa, what you're able to scrape off of the skin of an animal when you tan the hide of the animal. Vikolil Malka, a certain type of root. Umaskla Didikla Sumka, the shell of red dates. Vishaliklu Bade Adad, you cook all of those things together. Umayla Basin Shisha, then you bring the chola into a marble room where there's no wind whatsoever. The Eloi Kabesa the Shisha, and if you can't find such a room, Maile Basin the Shav Livni Varicha, you bring him into a room whose walls are so thick that it's seven Levanim and an Ariach thick, that's how many bricks there are in the thickness of the wall. Vinatle Tasmea Kasyal Reshe, you pour 300 cups of this mixture over his head, ad rafi arisa demoche, until his skull becomes softened, v'kara lemoche, then you tear open his skull, umaisi arba tarfi da'asa, you bring four leaves of hadasim, umadli kol chad kara, and you lift each leg of this sheretz that's on his brain, umosiv chad, and you put each one by one on a different hadas leaf, v'shakel b'tzavsa, and then you take a tweezer, and you take the bug, v'kali and you burn it, because if you don't burn the bug, he's going to go right back onto the fellow's brain, and that's the way you do the brain surgery. Don't try this at home, but that's the way you do the brain surgery to cure this person. So Rabbi Yochanan announced you got to be very careful, stay away from the flies that are hovering around the Bali Ra'asan. Rabbi Zera Lava Yosef Bizike, Rabbi Zera wouldn't even stay in the same where the wind could blow from both him and the Bali Rasan at the same time, that he thought it was such a contagious disease that the wind would blow the disease from the Bali Rasan to him. Rabbi Lazar lo ayel ba'ale. Rabbi Lazar wouldn't go into the same ohel as the Bali Rasan. Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi lava achli mi bei dahi mavua. They wouldn't eat from eggs that were laid in the same mavui where Bali Rasan lived. Meaning they were choshesh that the disease was transmitted in all sorts of different ways. And if you're not sure exactly how the disease is transmitted, you stay away. You stay as far away as you can. Right? That's what the Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch, that if there's a dever be'ir, leave, get out of the city, so that you could avoid becoming. Rama doesn't mention Shach and Shulchan Aruch quotes from a Tshuvas Rama that you should run away, if I'm not mistaken. But so that's the halacha. A person is supposed to run away from a city when there's and then just stay away from people who have these transmittable diseases that are very dangerous. Rabbi Shua ben Levi mikrach b'hu v'asik b'torah. Rabbi Shua ben Levi, he was an exception. He would hang out with the Bali Rasa and he would just learn Torah the whole time. Amar, and he would say about Torah, Ayelas ayav ahavim v'yalas chen im chen mala alomdeha aguni lamagna. If Torah can provide chen for those who learn it, you don't think it's going to have protective powers? So the Torah will protect me. So that was Rabbi Shua ben Levi. He was a very unique and special person. That's not for everybody. Ki av shachiv, when Rabbi Shua ben Levi died, just to highlight how different Rabbi Shua ben Levi was than the rest of the world, the Gemara tells us about Rabbi Shua ben Levi's unusual death. So Amru Lei, the Beis Din Shalmaila told the Malach HaMavis, to the Malach HaMavis, Zil Avalei Ru'usei, you need to go and have a conversation with the Rabbi Shua ben Levi and ask him how he wants to go. Ask him what he wants. So Azul Chazalei, the Malach HaMavis politely knocked on his door and said, hi, I'm here. So Amru Lei, so Rabbi Shua ben Levi said to the Malach HaMavis, Achvilei Duchtaya, I'd like you to show me, before you take me, show me my place in Gan Eden. So Amru Lei, the Malach HaMavis said, Lechi, okay, I was told to do whatever you want, so no problem. So Amru Lei, Havli Sakinech. So the Rabbi Shua ben Levi said to the Malach HaMavis, do me a favor, give me your knife, you know, that you kill people with. Because I'm afraid, as you're going to show me my place in Gan Eden, someone's going to frighten me, so I need some self-defense. So Yavin Ele, he said, okay, I was told to give you whatever you want, so here you go, here's the knife. Kimatalas, and when they got to his place in Gan Eden, Dalia, the Malach HaMavis lifted him up, Kamachvile, and he showed him, I guess it's a high wall, so he lifted him up over the wall for him to peek at his place in Gan Eden. So Shavar, Nafalahu Gisa. So Rabbi Shua ben Levi took advantage of the opportunity, and he jumped over the wall. As the Malach HaMavis was lifting him up to show him, while still alive, he jumped to the other side. So Nakte, the Malach Bekarna Deglime, the Malach HaMavis grabbed to the corner of his beged to try to pull him back over. So Amalei, Shum Levi said, B'shvasa Dolosina, I swear that I'm not leaving here. So the Malach HaMavis wanted to take him out of Gan Eden, but he couldn't take him out because now there was a Shavuah that he's not allowed to come out. And he can't violate the Shavuah. So Amar Kutcha Brichu, I Itchel HaShavuasa Nihadar, V'ilo Lo Nihadar. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let's look at Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi's entire life. Did he ever have a Shavuah that he went to be Shoel on the Shavuah to undo an existing Shavuah? If he did, then get him out of there. And we'll Shoel in this Shavuah as well, and we'll take him out of Gan Eden. But if he never did, then he gets to stay. So Amalei, afterwards, the Malach HaMavis said to Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi, Havli Sakinoi, I need my knife back. So Lava Kayavle, he didn't want to give him his knife back. Nafak Baskala, Amalei, Havne Alei, Dimitbay Libriasa. He said, no, that you got to give him back. He's got to do his job. So he needs this for to be the Malach HaMavis. So you got to give him his knife back. Machmas Elio Kamei, Panu Makum Labar Levi, Panu Makum Labar Levi. So Elio Anavi announced up in Gan Eden, everyone should clear space for Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi. So Azal Ashkechei, Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi went and he found Rabbi Shmuel ben Yochai, Davi Yosef Al Tasser Techiti Pisa, who was sitting on 13 golden thrones. So Amalei, Atu Bar Levi, Rabbi Shmuel ben Yochai said, oh, are you the famous Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi we heard about that Elio Anavi just announced? Amalei, hey, he said, yeah, that's me. Nirsa Keshes Piyamecha, in your entire life, you ever see a rainbow? Amalei, hey, he said, yeah, I've seen rainbows. Imke, Niyata Bar Levi. Well, then you're obviously not Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi, because Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi would have protected his generation that they never would have needed to see a rainbow. Velohi, Delavai Midi, Ella Saver Loch Sektivusa Nafshai. It happens to be he lied. He never saw a rainbow. He just didn't want to brag. So he said that he had seen a rainbow, but he hadn't really, and he really was Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi. Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa Shushvina, Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa was a good friend of him. Who is him? So two deos, either the Malach HaMavis or Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi. So when it came his time to die, when Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa's time to die, so Amrulei, the Malach HaMavis, the Beis Din Shalmaila, told the Malach HaMavis, Zil Avad Leirusei, do whatever he wants. Azal Gabei Vizchazilei. So the Malach HaMavis went to Rabbi Chanin Bar Papa and he showed himself to him. Amarlei. So the Rabbi Chanin Bar Papa said to the Malach HaMavis, Shavki Tosin Yom Adinad Tamudai, give me 30 days so I can chazer all my learning. Da Amri, because we know what they say, Ashe Mishabalakad Vitalmud Abiyado, that fortunate is someone who makes it to the Olam HaEmes with his learning in hand. So I want to just solidify all my learning to make sure that I have everything down cold. So Shafke, so the Malach HaMavis said, okay, I'll see you in a month. I'll be back in 30 days. Lebasa Tosin Yom, and 30 days later, Azul Eschazileh, the Malach HaMavis again showed himself to Rabbi Chanin Bar Papa. He came knocking at his door again. So later, Rabbi Chanin Bar Papa said to the Malach HaMavis, Achvi Liduktai, I would like to see my place in Gan Eden. So Lechi, the Malach HaMavis said, okay, they told me in the Beis Shalmaila, I'm supposed to do what you want. So no problem. So Rabbi Chanin Bar Papa said to the Malach HaMavis, Havli Sakinech, I would like to have your knife, please. Dilmam Vasas Liboracha, because I'm afraid that someone might frighten me along the way. So Amalei, the Malach HaMavis said, Kichavrach Baras Lamavali. Wait a second, I was tricked about this once. You want to do to me like what Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi did to me? You're going to jump the fence and you're going to steal my knife? So Amalei, I see Sefer Torah V'chazi. So Rabbi Chanin Bar Papa said to the Malach HaMavis, bring the Sefer Torah and we'll see. Mi Kamidi Dichsiv Be V'lo Kiamtia. De'lo Kiamtia. Is there anything that's written in the Torah that I did not fulfill? So I deserve to have the same fate as Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi. So yes, I'm asking for the same thing Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi asked for, because I deserve to have the same things Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi had. So Amalei says, yeah, me krachta b'bali rasan v'yaskta b'torah. Did you learn Torah next to Bali Rasan, who had this terrible disease that you that a danger of your own life? You didn't do that. You don't deserve. V'afilu hachi, and nevertheless, kinach nafshe, avshle amudu d'nor ben didei li'alma. Even though he didn't quite measure up to Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi, when he died, when Rabbi Chanin Bar Papa died, there was a pillar of fire that separated him from the rest of the world, the Gemiri, and we have a tradition that only happens for one or two people in a generation. So Rabbi Alexandri said to him, remove this pillar of fire for the cover of the Chachamim. The other Chacham didn't have this. It's embarrassing. Lo Ashkach, he didn't listen. For the cover of your father, your own father didn't have this. Lo Ashkach, he didn't listen. Do it for your own cover. troubled. We need to be able to be cover you and to be maspid you. And we can't do it if we can't access you because there's this fire in between your body and everybody else. So Stalik. So then the fire went away and the Chevra Kedisha was able to do their job. So Amar Abaye said that when this Amud Eish was there, that's the Afuke Mandlo Kiyem, that's to be to exclude, to separate him from people who were not Mekayim something, a single oath in the Torah. Because he was Mekayim every oath in the Torah. Amar Ravad Bar Masa, so Ravad Bar Masa said to Abaye, La Afuke Mimar Delo Isle Makal Igre. Oh, you mean like you, Abaye, who you don't have a Makah on your roof? So you're someone who doesn't fulfill all that it says in the Torah? Velohi. That wasn't really fair. Mehava Hava, Abaye had a Makah on his roof. He Shaitu Deshad Yazika. But a wind had just blown down his Makah, so he was caught without a Makah for a few moments. So Amar Bechirim Neima'in Balei Rasan Bebavel. Once this whole conversation started with Balei Rasan, with people who have this type of disease, why is it that no one in Bavel suffers from this? Mesha Ochlin Tradim, because they eat beets, Veshosan Shecha Shal Hizmi, and they drink Hizmi beer. Amar Bechirim Neima'in Mitzoran Bebavel. How come we don't find Saras in Bavel? Mesha Ochlin Tradim, because they eat this beet juice, Veshosan Shechar, and they drink beer, Verochsin Bemei Pras, and they bathe in the Mei Pras, in the Pras River. So from all of that, it prevents having Saras. Hadron Lachamadir Zishol, from tomorrow, we'll pick up with the 8th parak of Maseches Ksubis. Have a great day, everyone.